Good afternoon, everybody. And it's always the question of Simcha Purim, we understand, but what's the Simcha of Chodesh Adar? So I think the best way to experience Simcha of Chodesh Adar is to experience Simcha, real Simcha. So I have actually two weddings to go to tonight, and even though they say you can't dance at all chasnas, I'm going to try to dance at three. Because I think a shir is also a chasna. When you dance, you're trying to somehow or another create a certain harmony, and I'd like to create tonight, or this afternoon, some harmony amongst all the shitas as far as the chiyuv of what Mishtam Purim is, actually having the feasting on Purim. Now, I'm not here to, God forbid, criticize people's understanding of the halacha and their practices. I will just begin by saying that I happen to enjoy all Yom Tovim, all Jewish holidays, and I enjoy Purim also. And if you ask me what part of Purim do I enjoy hearing Megillas Esther, I enjoy Matanis Lavyonim, I enjoy Sudas Purim, and I also enjoy giving Shalach Manas. But I don't really enjoy the process of Shalach Manas going in the streets to people's houses. Because some reason, people today think, especially in Eretz Yisrael, that the Simcha of Shalach Manas extends to the streets and the way you behave on the streets, and all of a sudden cars become toys on Purim. And cars should not be a toy any day of the year, and it's very dangerous. So I think it's important to understand, when we speak about Simchas Purim, how to express the Simcha, and how the Simcha should be limited. And I think that, in general, when people understand and speak about Simcha, they seem to lose what exactly is the goal in the big picture of Simcha, and because of that, maybe the Simcha is expressed in the wrong way. Now, we know when it comes to Halacha that there's a general idea, and there's the details. And being Halachic Jews, the details are extremely important. A person can say, okay, I'll say Shema. Just so it's about Kriya Shema, that's a detail. No, details are extremely important. However, it's also important to look at the big picture. Let me give an example, nothing to do with Purim. Rosh Shraga Bailam Adlovavich, Zecharon Lebracha, Rosh Shiva Torah Das tells a story that he had a student, and this student who lived in one of the small towns, I'm not sure it was New Jersey, New York State, was very eager to have the honor of hosting his Rebbe for Shabbos. And Rosh Shraga Bailam Adlovavich, from time to time, would go to small towns to raise money for Torah Das. And one time he was going to go to the town of his Talmud, and his Talmud was very excited. There was five disciples coming for Shabbos. He'd eat by him Friday night. And they're walking home from shul together, and they get to this house, and they knock on the door, and the Balabayas, the host, opens the door and looks inside, and all of a sudden his face turns white. And the Shraga Bible Metlan Milovich takes the peek and understands why. The table's not set. House is a mess. They understand what happened. Probably this person's wife was very much involved in preparing a Shabbos for the Rebbe Rosh Yeshiva, and she was probably exhausted, and she probably lit Neiros, and she figured she'll light Neiros. This is a chutzlar, there's more time. She'll take a quick 15-minute nap on the couch. She'll get up and she'll set the table and clean the house. And we know what happens. The 15-minute nap ended up being a nap until they arrived in the house. So what did this person do? Instead of apologizing and offering to help, all of a sudden he looks and he screams out, "Oh my gosh, you didn't put a cover on the chalas! The chalas aren't being covered!" So why did he do that? So Shraga Bailam Milovich said, "I just didn't want to do it because he was afraid that I would walk into the house and see the chalas aren't covered, and he would think that I think that he didn't know the halacha that the chalas didn't be covered." But he says, "Why do we cover the chalas? We cover the chalas. One reason is because usually we make hamotzi first before we make a bracha on wine. But Friday night the bracha on the wine comes first, and in order to make sure the chalas don't become embarrassed, we cover the chalas." He says, "Did you ever see a challah being embarrassed? And ever say, 'Challah, you know, you're really fat. Well, you know, maybe you're a little too skinny. We never saw a challah being embarrassed. He says, the point of covering the challah is to teach us that we should embarrass somebody else. There's a detail, there's a general idea. And therefore, I think it's very important that when it comes to Purim, yes, there are the details, but we have to understand and realize what's the general idea. Yeah, there is, seems to be, there is a mitzvah on some level to drink on Purim. And yes, you know, most people feel, and most poskim feel, that we should drink wine. But if a person's going to drink and focus on the detail of drinking, and not understand and try to accomplish and fulfill the general idea, then unfortunately it could be his mitzvah might be somewhat in vain. As the poskim turns to point out, that those who drink and it becomes simcha shel holos, simcha of levity and not of mitzvah, have missed the point. So before I begin with the shir, I just want to paraphrase the tshuva that my father wrote on this issue. And actually, I asked my father to write the tshuva. I forgot how many years ago. I probably could figure it out. When I was teaching, I started a yeshiva high school in Canada, a little bit outside Toronto. I was very worried about my boys drinking. And my father began and he said, in respect to the question to whether it's permissible to drink on the night of Purim. First deal is a Purim night. I actually asked him to add that in. And my father felt that drinking Purim night is not any different than any other night of the year. And Purim night there's an inyan of simcha, it's true, but there's no chiyuv of mishnah. And therefore he said that to go ahead and to drink in excess on Purim night is the same as drinking in excess at any night of the year. And my father held, and this was clear in my house growing up, that drinking in excess in any other night or any other day of the year is usur. And why did my father feel that way? My father felt that way, I think, for two reasons. One, Torah Shevachtav, I have here, source number 6. Source number 6, a little out of order, the Perish Mishnayos of the Rambam, Maseches Avos, Harakei. The Rambam speaks about how a person has to find the golden mean. Which means that when we're speaking about running our life and we're thinking about how we, you know, what we should do and what we how we should enjoy ourselves, a person has to find the middle road, right? And just the Rambam basically says in source number 6 that if someone goes, okay, he says if someone goes to the other end, okay, so he says, for example, Rov HaTaiva, he says it's Rabbe Hechlet. And not only is Rabbe Hechlet, it's a chait. That's what he says. So therefore, it's very hard to know what it means when a person eats, when a person drinks, if he's going, if he's eating or drinking in excess. My father felt that if a person becomes drunk, then that certainly he's drinking in excess. And I remember he also explained to me that Kedoshim Tiyu, the Ramban says, what does it mean to be holy? Everything's in moderation. And obviously a person drinks till the point he becomes drunk, so then that's not in moderation. And that those halachas would apply every day of the year and would apply for a night. Maybe for a day, that halacha doesn't apply, as we'll try to explain. And therefore, my father held that just like a person can't become drunk any other night of the year, any day of the year, a person cannot drink in excess on Purim night. In respect to Purim day, so my father basically explained, mentioned the Gemara and Rabbeinu Ephraim. First he started off, and he says, if you look at the source, it's source number 8. We'll come back to this Gemara many times. It's the famous Gemara in the middle of the Gild of Zion in the days. Amar Rabba says, Mechayiv Inish L'Sumi Puria, a person has to drink on Purim, Ad Lo Yada, until he does no difference in Arham L'Baruch Mordechai. Okay, we'll explain this a little later in the shir. He has to drink. He has to drink a lot until he doesn't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. It has to be explained. Then the Gemara goes on. Rabbi Bravizera Abdi Sudas Purim Bahadeh Hadodi. Rabbi and Bravizera did a suda together. Ifsum, they got, I guess, they were intoxicated. And Kom Rabba got up. Literally means Shachte, he shechted Bravizera. The Meiri and the Marsha explained that really what happens is that Rabbi Zera got very sick. The next day, Rava asked for Ahmadis on Rabbi Zera's part, and Rabbi Zera got better. Lashona, the next year, Amalei, the next year, Rava said, Rabbi Zera, Nathi Mar, let the master come up and not be Sudas Purim, Bahadi Adadi, and make the Sudas together again. He says, no, not every year does a miracle happen. So on this, Rabbeinu Ephraim points out, why is it, you can find this in source number 9, why does the Gemara mention this story? It's in source number 9, where Ron quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim, that the Gemara mentions the story to tell us what can be the ramifications and of such a meal, and therefore the Gemara basically rejected Rava's din and said a person should not drink that much. And therefore it's not proper to overindulge in wine, even on Purim. And that is the Shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Baal Hamor. However, most Rishonim did not accept the Shita. Most Rishonim, the Rambam and others, accept Halacha that this still applies, and we'll explain. And therefore, says a person can go ahead and he follows either Shita my father held. It's all right as long as when he drinks in excess. And therefore he felt that maybe the halacha of drinking in excess does not apply to Purim Day, because there he's not drinking because of his desire. There he's drinking because of his mitzvah. So then, if he keeps all the halachas, he doesn't hurt anybody, he doesn't disturb anybody, so a person can do what, nara pashtek. What's the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch? Just to see the halacha, and then we'll explain. So the halacha is mentioned in Siman Tov Reish Tzadik Dalet. Siman Tov Reish Tzadik Hey, it mentions, the Machaber mentions, Chayev Inish Lubsumim Puria, Adlo Yada, he's supposed to drink, and since he can't live in Baruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And the Yesh Omrim, and some say, the Ain't Sarach Lishtacher Kol Kach, the Shita Zayom, to get so drunk, so intoxicated, to drink a little more than usual, the Yishan, and fall asleep. And once you fall asleep, you won't know the difference in Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Okay, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, I have to say that over the years, and it's been many, many years, I never remember my father pushing anybody at the Sudas Purim to drink wine. Never. Okay, and I still remember, so much so, I remember the first time I had a cup of wine to drink, one cup on Purim Day, and I remember how it affected me. I think I was maybe 18 years old, 19 years old. We used to have grape juice at the table, and there was wine. That being said, there were certain years that my father did maybe have a cup of wine, and my father did say that maybe it's better to have wine because wine does have an effect on you. But I happen to think, and again, I can't confirm, that there were certain years my father drank grape juice. Certain years he drank wine, depending on how he felt. So what I'd like to do is try to understand what the shitas are, and to not just understand what the specifics of the mitzvah, but the general idea. And before I begin, I think Purim is such an important holiday to not only focus on the details, but really know the general idea. And why is that? So just understand the background of Purim. See, the background of Purim, it could be that the reason why the whole story happened was because the Jewish people focused mainly on the details. The Gemara, Chazal, tell us that why did it happen that Haman was able to succeed on some level to put forth his plan to destroy the Jewish people? And the Gemara says in the Maseches Megillah, and the Chazal tell us, the reason is because they went to the party. They went to the party of Mordechai v'Acher Shmei. Now, and we know, Chazal tell us, that Mordechai said, don't go to the party. At the party they're going to have the Klei Beis HaMikdash. And this is this is source number 1, Esther Rabba Parsha Zion. So Mordechai told the Jewish people, Amad Mordechai the Hichri is Aleihem. He says, don't go to eat the Suda of Achashverosh, because I want you to know he only invited the party because he wants that there should be an accusation against you in Shemayim, that the Midah Tadin should see fit to somehow to punish you. And they didn't listen to Mordechai. And they all went to the party. How many Jews went to the party? Remember, this was in Shushan. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Shmona Asur Elef HaChamesh Meyo. 18,500 went to the party. And he says, and they ate, they drank, they became drunk. And the Niskalkalu, and they were hurt by it. And at that point, the Satan stood up against them. And what was their answer? How did they go to the party? So the source number two, Maseches Megillah, Daf Beis Aleph. It was very clear that what happened? The party was kosher, it was Mahadrin, the Beis HaSharon. He says, why does it say, My Kadosh, Vashtiyah Kadosh, My Kadosh, Amar Abchon, Mishra Meir Kadosh El Torah. So what is Kadosh El Torah? Not only does it mean it was kosher, but even the way they ate, it was more food than drinking. Alright? And he says, and they had wine from, he says, they had wine, everyone from the Medina, Lasos, Kirtzon, Ish, Fiish, like the Ratzon of Mordechai. What's the Ratzon of Mordechai? He said, Marsha brings down. He says, Marsha brings down that Mordechai wanted that the Jews wouldn't eat, trade at the meal. So they said to Mordechai, it's all kosher. The details were all there. But for some reason, they lost the general picture that besides the mitzvahs, the Jew has to know where is the right place for Jew to be and where is the wrong place for Jew to be. And the whole challenge, the whole Nisayon of Purim happened because the Jewish people focused mainly on the details. And this is mentioned by the Manos Levi also, the same idea. So, if the whole Nes of Purim, the whole story of Purim happened because the Jewish people were mostly focused on the details, and details are important, but not a general idea, it's very important on Purim itself we not only understand and try to mekayem the details, but the details should go ahead and should bring us to the general idea, the general goal of Purim, the general simcha. Now, in terms of the details itself, it's important to know that if a person does want to drink, he has to do it within the guidelines of the mitzvah. Because if he's not doing it the way the mitzvah says, then he might come, as what the Rambam says, overindulging which would be a chet, he might violate doshin to you. So first of all, if you look at source number 7, that's the Rambam in Perek Beis at Hilchas Purim, Halacha Yudal, Halacha Tezvav. So he says, Dal Lasud is not at night. And the Rambam says, Halacha Tezvav is Ketzar Chov Azud Azu. What is the Chov of this meal? Sheyol Chov Basar, you have to eat meat. I remember, this year, so for me, Purim is going to be on a Thursday, and Yerushalayim is on Friday. And some people have a very hard time having two flesh chicken meals, Friday afternoon and Friday night. I don't have such issues. But I remember someone once asked me, they wanted to serve milchiks on Purim Erev Shabbos, and fleishiks on Friday night. So I said, it's better to serve fleishiks at the Suda, because Rambam says you have to be basar, and Friday night you can have milchiks, because Allah of Shabbos is not the Abdash, you have to have something chashuv. So if you're going to have salmon, better have salmon Friday night, because there is halacha chashivas, and you should have meat or chicken, meat and chicken at the Purim Suda itself. Because the Rambam says, Ketzer Chova Suda Zu, Sheyochal Basar, V'yitake in Suda Noah, Kefi Asher Kimsu Yadon. And you should make a nice meal according to what you're able to. And then he says, V'shos Yayin, and you drink wine, this Rambam is very important, Ashi Yishtaki V'yir D'Meshichus. So it's clear from the Rambam that it's not a mitzvah of drinking. It's a mitzvah of having a suda. And the suda is defined by having a basar and having yayin. And the fact is that if a person goes ahead and, you know, as soon as he finishes the Megillah, Purim morning, he pulls out the bottle of wine, he's not mekayem the mitzvah. Because the wine has to be during the suda. That's clear from the Rambam in halacha tesvah. So, that's number one. I always have some of an issue on two levels because I make it my practice has always been to visit the chief rabbi at Beit Shemesh on Purim Day. And he always offers me wine to drink. I have a problem on two levels. Number one, I don't like to drink wine during the Suda. The bigger problem is
that I'm driving afterwards. How can you drink wine? So, and the problem is I would fake it, but he wants to hear a bracha. So what I do is, I say a bracha, a gefen, and mamash have a mashu, just a mashu. And that's it, even though, really, I don't like to make a bracha about a bracha problem, but I can't help it. And since I donated a kidney, so I always tell him, Fodorav and Lecha Lishot, you know, I only have one kidney. See, he accepts it, Baruch Hashem, so I dealt with that issue. I have a little water, that's enough. But I'm saying, but the mitzvah of drinking wine, put the car aside for a second, is only during the Suda. And the question I'd like to understand, what is the nature of the Suda? And then number eight, and then obviously, as the Gemara says, in source number eight, the Gemara says the chiyuv to drink. What is this chiyuv to drink? How do we understand it? And all the achronim, and even some of the rishonim, are very bothered by it. You should know the Chiddush Yarim, the first Ger Rebbe, was very bothered by this idea of drinking, people getting drunk, and he didn't like it. I'm not a Ger Chassid. I don't necessarily understand what exactly was going on in the court of a Chassid Ger. But he didn't like the whole idea. But we have to understand. We understand that drinking is so much against what becoming drunk, I should say, is so much against, or at least what I feel Torah stands for. So what is the idea of drinking on Purim? And then obviously the most famous question that we have to ask is, what's this idea of not knowing the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai? I have to tell you, except for somebody who has fallen to a drunken stupor, I never met a person who did not know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. So what does it mean? Now, so the Tosavis quotes the Yerushalmi, and source number 10, Rav Amar, that after, and by the way, there are many, many different pshatim given, and most of the pshatim that are given, the difference between Haman and Baruch Mordechai, I don't want to say they're not correct, but I don't think they have the point. But Yerushalmi says, Sarach Lomar, what's the idea of Arham Baruch Mordechai? Sarach Lomar Arur Haman, Arurim Banav, and Arurim Dukhas, Sarach Lomar Chavon Adach Lato. In other words, after the Megillah reading, this is the way it's explained, a person has to say, Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai, you know, Arurim Banav, and it mentions Harbona, we have to come out with an idea, once the Megillah is over, of what we heard in the Megillah. So therefore, Tosfos says that what does it mean? You shouldn't have to Arhan and Baruch Mordechai. You shouldn't be able to fulfill this Yerushalmi. I'd like to understand, like, what does that mean? You shouldn't be able to fulfill this Yerushalmi. All right, now we'll see that even though the Gemara seems very clear about his obligation to drink, the Achronim had a very, very hard time with this halacha. Okay, so let's look at source number 11. Source number 11 is the Marsha Mesachis Bav Metzia. Gemara Bav Metzia is discussing the halacha, I don't have the Gemara here, about that sometimes the Talmud Chacham is able to lie for a good reason. So one example, Talmud Chacham can lie, is, let's say, for example, someone says to me, you know this Mesachta, you can say, no, I don't know that Mesachta, for whatever reason. Then the Gemara says, you're allowed to lie about Puria. What does Puria mean? So Rashi explains, Hashem Shach, it's, how does it happen, I don't know. But a person is allowed to lie if someone were to ask him a question which reveals something about his intimate life. Okay, what does the Marsha say? Marsha has a different pshat, and even though it could be the Marsha's pshat is not pshat, but it tells us something of how the Gdoli HaPoskim and Achronim felt about this mitzvah of drinking. So he says like this. He says, in Maseches Megillah it says, that Chayiv Inish L'Psumei, a person has to drink on Purim, until he doesn't know the difference in Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So, Avdi Rabbanan de Mishanin Lomar, the Lo Yadagam. In other words, when you come to Yeshiva the next day, and they ask you, so how much did you drink? And this fellow, he says, he didn't want to drink because, you know, he just didn't feel well, it made him sick, and, or truth is, he just didn't enjoy drinking. So he had a cup of wine, but he didn't drink. So he says, he can say, I, Baruch Hashem, I reached the level of Ad Lo Yada, and you're allowed to lie. But Puria, you're allowed to lie to Marsha, says what you did on Purim. Is that shot in the Gemara? It's probably not. But you see that Marsha himself had a very difficult time with this whole idea of drinking. There's also a Shari Tshuva in Simon Tafresh Tzadikei, source number 12. Zayin Beheretete, he says, Zayin Bishiduri Amude Shamayim, Shekosav Sho'ovib Hagonzal, Hayinoa Yimei Bachuraso, his father, the Gaon, I'm not sure who it was,
L'kayim ha-member k'pshuto. Whoever was it, he was younger, he fulfilled this halacha k'pshuto, he became as drunk that he wouldn't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. I don't understand what that means. U'mishu cholash v'tivo. He says, someone who is very weak and wine affects him. Oh, shemishtate. Or the wine makes him so foolish, intoxication. He might do things that are improper. He shouldn't drink more than enough, not necessary. He shouldn't drink that much. So we see again the Shari Shuba brings down halacha. Not everyone has to go in and make kindness halacha. And he says, the raya l'davar, and a proof to this is the rivah. What is the rivah v'dok? What is the rivah? So the Shari Shuba explains the kavanaso masha kasav rivah hu rashe tevos Rav Yehuda bar Eloi. The Yerushalmi says that Yehuda bar Eloi had a very hard time of wine. Now remember, in the days of the Chazal, the harvest season for grapes was in the fall. And that means that if you wanted the wine to be fit for drinking, you had to become wine. There was no way you could make grape juice and the grape juice would be fit to drink by the time Purim and Pesach came around.
It would spoil.
So to Arvakos, you had to drink wine. There wasn't Kevin grape juice or anything of that sort in those days. So this Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, he had a headache. Okay, he wasn't well from Purim to Pesach because of the Arvakosas. I guess it's lucky he lived there in Eretz Yisrael. He only had one night. It doesn't say about Purim. Why? Because Purim he didn't drink. Why didn't he drink? Maybe he had a little wine. Because if Purim, if you're not going to enjoy the wine, if the wine can have a detrimental effect upon you, there is no halacha that you're mechuyev to drink a lot of wine. That is what. So we see, again, the Achronim, and there are many Achronim there, halacha, had a very, very difficult time with this halacha. Now, if you look at source number 17, that goes to my minutes again, as I said, Rishonim, Amar Rava, Mechayev Nishal Psume, Kosev Ravya, Dechol Hani, LeMitzvah. All this drinking is only a mitzvah of Alma, the Lola Akev. And it's not ma'akiv. You don't have to drink in excess. So, as we see, if you look at source number 18, the Shari Tshuva points out, you know, there's a halacha that when you have a very big seuda, you have to leave something off the table. That's not necessarily no way today, but halacha is zecher l'churban to remember when you have a very big seuda, you have to leave one dish off the table. We, in general, are not knowing this way because no one really know that the dish is left off the table. But in the days of Chazal, when they had a banquet, it was always very common to have a certain amount of food. And if something was left out, you would know it. So the Shari Shuvah says, this halacha does not apply today. Why? Because she'ein sorach li'zohir, la'azos v'sudas purim, zeichal el shalayim. Because since you have to get so drunk, to drink so much, I should say, that you can tell them this is Arhaman and Baruch Mordechai, of course you have to drink, you should drink enough that you don't remember it isn't available for Yerushalayim. That's what he says. In other words, even though we're supposed to remember Yerushalayim every second of our life, Imeshachach Yerushalayim Tishkach Yamini, we have to remember the Churban, during the Sudat Purim, there's no halacha of that. I can understand why. What happens on Purim? What is the mechanic of Sudat Purim that tells us, don't think about the Golos right now. Just enjoy yourself. Okay, so source 22, 21, 22. This is Megillas Esther 23. So the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Perek Tes Pasuk Chavchas, Hayom Me'ela, these days, the Purim days, Nisgarim Menachem Chodor Vador, they will be celebrated and remembered in every generation, Mishpacha, Mishpacha. Families get together to celebrate Medina, Medina, countries, ear to ear, cities and cities. The Yimei Purim Eilim, these days of Purim, Lo Yamru Mitocha Yehudim. They will never pass from the Jews. The Zichron, Lo Yosuf, Mizaram, and their memory will never be taken away. We'll always remember Purim. So what does it mean? So, Sikta Zdrasta says, even when Mashiach comes, okay, and Zichron, Safazaram, Afila, Avela, Sinim, Yerushalayim, those who are mourning over Yerushalayim as
as the Sharishim mentioned, and you put on wine, you bathe, and we're just doing the time of Purim, we're focused on the Simcha of Purim. The Torah's Mimet, Torah 23 says, that even when all the Mu'adim become battle, she says, Purim will not become battle. And that's what he says, number 424, Avotish is called Zichron of Tzoros Yivatel, the Rambam says, Yimei HaPurim, lo Yivatel. What is the uniqueness of Purim? That Purim will become Batel. What is really Purim all about? So in order to understand, I think, what Purim is, we have to take notice of a Meiri, source number 13, and try to explain the Meiri, and I hope after that, everything will come together. The Meiri says, Megillah Mishtach Zayin Mabei, the Chayiv Adam Laharbos the Simcha Beyom Zeh. A person has to maximize his happiness on this day. Uvachila, uvashtia, and eating and drinking. By the way, you see the Meiri separates happiness from achila uvashtia. V'shol achla yechzer shum davar. And nothing should be missing. Umikol makom. Einon mitzuvin lehishtakir ulahachis atzmeinu mitov ha-simcha. We don't have to, you know, debase ourselves and lower ourselves because of simcha. Shalom itzavinu al simcha shel holus. We're not commanded on happiness of levity, v'shal shtus and foolishness. Ela v'simcha shel tainuk, a happiness of enjoyment. Shenagia mitocha lavas Hashem. Then we come to avas Hashem. We have to understand, what is this simcha that brings us to love God? Vauda al hanisim sh'oslanu, and to praise God for the nisim he did. So what is this simcha that brings us to really enjoy, to have oneg, and to come to loving God and be able to praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Umasha Amar Khan Adul Adar Harav Mar Mordechai. He says, and what does it mean? You should know the difference in Arham and Baruch Mordechai. So you say it mentions our man Ephraim, that was rejected. We don't passion like that. He says, what does it mean? See, he quotes to Yerushalmi, as I said, Yerushalmi says that after the Megillah, you have to say, Aru Haman, Baruch Mordechai, Brucha Esther, Ru Zeresh, and say, Chavon Azrach Latov. You have to become so intoxicated that you don't know the difference, my Yomar. Okay? He says, Elishikar Nitzchit, Ladaitenu, that he mentioned Ben Ephraim, who was pushed off, this whole Gemara of Aru Haman, Baruch Mordechai. And then he mentions that the Dole and Machabrim writes that you should fall asleep. And then he says, obviously, that Rav Zera went ahead and was shechted, it means that he was squeezed and he became sick, and not that he was really killed, of course. So, and then I'd like to understand the Rambam Shita. What does it mean, the Rambam Shita, that to fall asleep? But how do you make the mitzvah there? So, I think that in order to understand everything, it's important to take notice of the Tzvas Emes. And the Tzvas Emes sheds light on what Mitzvah Purim is. The Tzvas Emes points out that, especially according to the Rambam, the Mitzvah is not to get drunk. There's no Mitzvah to get drunk on Purim. And the Rambam says, what's the Lashon of Rambam? The Lashon of Rambam is, he says, the Shos Yayin. According to the Rambam, the Mitzvah of drinking is to drink wine. That's the mitzvah itself. And that's why once you hold that grape juice is yayin, you can drink grape juice also. So what's this idea that you should become drunk? Look at the Tzvas Emes. The Tzvas Emes says in source number 16, that Zayin Rebeis, Nira Lefarish, the Ein HaKavona Shemechuyev L'Shtakar Kolkach, Ashlo Yada, doesn't mean that you have to get so drunk that you don't know. A whole day you have to be involved in a feast. And a feast means eating and there's drinking. And he's asking, did I have enough? Can I finish the meal? He says, the bottom line is that until you don't know the difference in Aram Baruch Mordechai, you still have to be involved in the meal. It doesn't mean that you have to keep drinking. It means be involved in the meal. When you have a mishta, from time to time you take a drink. Lafuke, once you reach the shear, okay, he says, so then you're done. But even if you don't reach the shear, aval afilu kodem ashir, but even before the shear, yotzer yotzer,
It's no chiyuv to get drunk, to be intoxicated. It's a chiyuv that a mishnah defined as a meat on the table, and there's drink on the table, and from time to time you take a drink. That's the obligation. That's what he says. And that is obviously, and that's what the Rambam means, v'chayiv lishtos. He's the Rambam's lashon again. It's a person v'shos v'yayin. And once you become intoxicated, once you fall asleep, according to the Rambam, so at that point, you're potter. But until then, to be involved in suda. Now why is that? Why has wine become so important? So, I'd like to suggest that when does a person drink wine? A person drinks wine a lot of times when he wants to forget everything. Okay?
And he's
Emotional turmoil. Yeah, right? And if a person knows that he has to make an important decision, he's going to be very, very careful about what he drinks. There's no question about that. Very, very important decision. He's going to be very careful about what he drinks. And as a matter of fact, there is actually, if you look at source number 19, by Yikra Rabbah, Parsha Shmini, Parsha Yubeis, Siman Hei, so Chazal tell us that all the 7 years that Shlomo HaMelech was involved in building the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't drink wine. Didn't drink wine. Why? Again, I'm sure Shlomo HaMelech was very much on top of what's going on, and therefore he wanted to make sure he always had a clear head to deal with any issue that might come up. The cave in Shabanu, and then once he built it and he married Batfaro, then he drank wine because of the simcha, the binyan beis hamikdash, and the simcha Batfaro. All right, obviously there were ramifications for that. And as we see that a person when he's drinking wine. The person's drinking wine, so he realized, you know, I don't have to be on guard, I don't have to be so serious, because I'm not going to have some very important discussions, very important decisions to make. I'll tell you a personal story that happened many, many years ago, a long time ago. I had some students over for a Purim Suda, and I had some wine to drink. I was very levitic, and you know, it's funny, when you deal with 18-year-old boys, you do something, they think you do it on purpose, and they think you're drunk. So, you know, I take, and then it's good, because then you can tell the boys what you want, and give them whistle. So I took a bottle of Mayaden, and I poured myself a cup of water, and on purpose, I made the water spill over. So I said, oh wow, you know, he had a lot to drink, he's drunk. So the next day, someone said to me, one of my students, he says, I knew. I said, how did you know? So it was very clear, because, you know, I started in my neighborhood, those days I was much more involved, a tzedakah fund, a Laman Achai, support 200 families, and obviously one of the busiest days of the year is Purim. And I'm very involved in Purim Matanos L'Yomim, and I always tell them, you know, you only have a Revias of wine, you can't paskin. So I said, you know, at 4:30, find a Rav in Yerushalayim and call the Shalom, alright? Anyway, in those days there were various Rabbanim who lived in Ramat Beit Shemesh, that lived in Yerushalayim, they thought they'd call them. Anyway, I don't know, 5:15 the phone rings and they say, we called every single Rav in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Lin Yerushalayim, and they're all drunk, they can't even talk to us. Okay? So I knew that, I heard the Shaila, I thought it was Alacha, but I didn't want it, I should have asked him. So I asked my wife to call my brother in Chicago, who for various reasons certainly was able to pass the Shaila. But my student said to me, he became very serious and very focused, and I knew that he really had very little drink. You were just faking us. That's what he said. He was right. He was right. Because once you have wine, then you can't be as aware. Okay. So what happens? I possibly suggest that the point of Purim, because what happened on Purim? On Purim, the Goyim tried to destroy us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us that if you have bitachon and you make your ishtadlus, you have to know that at some point, HaKadosh Baruch was there for us, and HaKadosh Baruch is going to take care of us. And in Purim, we have to express that bitachon, that to show that once we davened HaKadosh Baruch, which we did, once in the kind of mitzvahs we did, then we have to go ahead and we have to put our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He will take care of everything. And that's why on Purim, we say we can drink, and you want to know we can drink even to a point where there's nothing to worry about. Because we know that Purim is the day where we believe very much so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. There's a Gemara in the Sefer Megillah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Gemara there is talking about what does it mean in terms of certain expressions, Mishnayos Megillah, and how the maidservant of Rebbe, when her conversation explained to them. So the Gemara mentions another case. Gemara mentions a pasuk. Pasuk says like this: Hashem al Hashem Yavech. Go ahead. Go ahead and throw on a Kadosh Baruch Hu Yahadcha and he'll take care of you. So Gemara said they didn't know what that meant. What does it mean, Hashem al Hashem? So then they heard this person was walking with an Arab merchant, and the Arab merchant said to him, you know, take your bet, go ahead and put your bet on the camel. And Yahadcha on the camel, now I know, where's Yahadcha coming? It means your package, your suitcase, your teak. So the Gerar asked the question, what? They didn't know what Yahadcha means. It's clear from the context of the Sukkim. So the Gerar explains, they know what it meant, but they weren't sure. When you go ahead, when you throw your load, your baggage on the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll take care of you. But weren't sure, when you throw your baggage on the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he's going to take care of you, right? Do you still have to worry about it, or once you give it to God and you make the right yishtadlus and keep making the yishtadlus, Kadosh Baruch Hu's going to take care of us, whatever that means. So we learn from there. That's why when you put a teak, a suitcase on a camel, you don't have to worry about the camel, don't have to help the camel. Give it to Kadosh Baruch Hu, keep making the yishtadlus, and have you talk about that it's in God's hands, whatever happens. And that is what Purim is about, to realize that it's all good. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we might be in the midst of terrible times, but to know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us, even though sometimes it's very difficult to understand. And maybe that's the idea of Aruham and Baruch Mordechai. Because, you know, we have to say after the Megillah, Aruham and Baruch Mordechai. It's I wouldn't call it a mitzvah. I wouldn't say a person who didn't say it was not the kind of a mitzvah. So obviously, the Gemara is not going to tell us to drink enough, you won't do a mitzvah. God forbid. The thing is, you get to a point where, you know, you can't even get into this whole Aruham Baruch Mordechai business. Don't worry about it, because the point of Purim is to realize, if you do your shtadlus, you daven the Kadosh Baruch, and you keep halacha, it's going to be okay. And that's why on Purim, we're not supposed to think about the Chorban. Because we know, what's the Chorban? The Chorban is that we're Ruach Tzaras. This is Purim with me. It's all good, because our Kadosh Baruch Hu, because our Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And I think that maybe that's also the idea of falling asleep. You know, if you wonder, it's a beautiful thing when you see a baby, a child, fall asleep in the car. Because that child knows that when he falls asleep in the car, right? For example, when I'm on the bus and I fall asleep, I'm always nervous that I'm going to go and miss my stop. I keep waking up. But a baby falls asleep in the car, sitting in the car. That baby knows that it either is Abba or Ima, or his older brother, or his older sister, or somebody else, a nice neighbor, is going to carry this baby off to the house, and he will wake up. He will wake up in the morning in his own bed. But just when we fall asleep, we know that we're not nervous about certain things. So Purim, just drink something, fall asleep. Why? Because you should know that Purim is all about that we can go ahead and we can have tremendous bitachon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go ahead and take care of us. Now, and that's why I think that the Rambam says when the holidays become batal, which is hard to understand, Purim will still be there. Because what does Purim present? That a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. And even though now we wonder, why is this happening? Why is that happening? But the fact is, the Mashiach symbolizes Gula, the future redemption symbolizes the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to go ahead and is going to take care of us. And therefore, that's what we're thinking about, that one day it's all going to be good. And that's what Purim's about, that one day it's all going to be good. And sort of Purim, we push ourselves into the future in that time, for those few hours, when everything's going to be good. And therefore we drink, because you know what? We're not really so concerned with what the future is going to be. So whatever a person wants to drink, but the point is to realize and feel that simcha, that everything is going to end up being okay. Now, we mentioned the Me'iri. So Me'iri says
that a person has to come from the Simcha of Purim, La'avas Hashem, to love God, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you know, how does that work? So the Rambam, Hilch Malachim, Perik Yudbeis, Halacha Dalit. So the Rambam basically discusses why the Chacham want the Mashiach. Everyone has their own reasons. And the Rambam says, a very famous Rambam, Lo Nisavu HaChachamim V'Navim Yimosu Mashiach, source number 20, that the Chachamim did not desire Mashiach today so we should rule over the entire world, and not that we should go ahead and be able to rule over the pagans, and not that we should be lifted up. He said, and not so we should be able to eat and drink and be happy, because right now we're living with Sheba Goliath, and it's so hard, so difficult to focus on Torah and Chachmah. But once Mashiach comes, when we know everything will be okay, God's taking care of us, will be so clear, and we won't have problems, then we'll be able to focus all our vote on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how Purim brings us to Avas Hashem. Because if you can sit down, you can think that we rely on Kadosh Baruch Hu, and everything is good, then you can have true Avas Hashem, then you can have true Oneg, and then you can have true Avas Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the point of Purim. The point of Purim is for one small moment to go ahead, to feel and to remember and to realize what it means to be totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and no one recognize that God is with us. And therefore, Purim, we have to forget. We start the Suda, we forget everything. Just remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Haman and all enemies on that day, and He will take care of us. And that's what we have to feel. Just like the Jews in Shushan and the whole empire felt then, that God took care of us, we have to feel that way today. And that's why we drink, whatever we drink, because a person drinks, he shows. He has no, well, depends, but basically either wants to forget his worries, but here we're saying, we have no worries. And I think it's a very beautiful story that really epitomizes what Purim is about. It's a Chassidus Shemaisa. But, you know, there's certain Chassidus Shemaisas that really resonate within me. And it was once a poverty-stricken villager, a chassid, who came to Kuznets. You know, the Kuznets Tzermagid Shul, I'm Purim. Kuznets Tzermagid was the one who was Mechaver Ein Avir Kashem. And, you know, the Magid of Kuznets, he read the Megillah. And, you know, he said, after the Megillah was read, so the Magid goes over to the villager and says, you come from this village. That's my responsibility. You didn't bring me Shalach Manas. So, this poor villager said, I don't know what to do. He doesn't have bread for his family. He's been Shalach Manas. What is he going to do? So, when he started, that Matthew said, listen, thanks for him. Everything's good. Come with me. Have a little whiskey. Okay. So they went to the Matthew's home. And therefore, he was so happy that he came to the Matthew's home. That day, he went right from there to the house of the person who sold wine. And he says to him, happy for him. He says, can you give me a bottle of wine on credit? He says, you know what? I'll pay you back. But just in case, I don't. It's Purim. It's all okay. So for some reason, the guy gave him a bottle of wine. Then he goes to a store, and he says, can you give me two or three apples? I'll pay you back after Purim. And if I don't, it's all good. It's Purim. So he says, and then he had these apples, and he had this wine. And he went to the Magid and says, Rebbe, here's a Shalach Manas. Alright, so the Rebbe said, I want you to bring me Shalach Manas every single year. Okay, so on the way out, he's thinking, it's such a good move. He said, you know, my family doesn't have a Suda. So what does he do? He couldn't go back to the wine merchants. He goes for the whiskey, you know. He says, here, he bought vodka. I happen not to enjoy vodka. Not that I enjoy whiskey either, but he said, he bought vodka. He says, he bought vodka. He said the same thing. He says, listen, can you give me a bottle of vodka on credit? I'll pay you back. After if I don't, it's all good, it's Purim. Okay. So then, he says, then what does he do? Then he goes to the bakery. Same thing at the bakery, gets a hot loaf of bread. Then he goes and he gets some herring. He knew what his limits were, so he didn't buy chicken or maybe it's herring. Okay, he has this, he runs all the way home. He comes in the house and says, it's Purim, happy Purim, happy Purim, it's awesome. He says, right? So he says, they thought he was crazy. He's so poor. So he says, don't worry, he says, I bought a Suda Purim, come with it and drink. They ate, they drank, they got up, they danced, singing, today is Purim, today is Purim. And all of a sudden, they heard a knock at the door. He says, who is it? So the villager says, don't answer. It's probably one of those peasants from the village. He wants to come disturb our Purim joy. He says, it's probably old Ivan wants some potatoes. They open the door, and see, there's Ivan. And he's beaten and bruised, bleeding. And they took him inside, they washed him, dressed his wounds, and they gave him some bread and vodka. So he says, you know, you guys saved my life. You know what happened? My son beat me up. He threw me out of the house. If you wouldn't have helped me, I would have died. I want you to know my son is a murderer. I don't want to leave him my money. I hid my money under a tree. I'll tell you where it is. When I die, it's yours. Okay? A few days later, this Gentile died, and the village, the chassid went, dug up the treasure, and became a rich man. And from that day on, every Purim they gave the Magid, because it's Shalach Manas. Did this story really happen? I really have no idea. Okay? But the idea is that the attitude on Purim has to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do this for us, and we have to be happy. And I said at the beginning of the Shir, the point of Purim, however you celebrate it, okay? However you celebrate it, the big picture is to come out and say, the big picture is not just to drink. The big picture is to be at the feast and realize that everything is good and there's nothing to worry about. Whatever's going on in a person's life, so he has to think everything is great. You know, I'll just experience from my Purim. I think my Purim for me is always, I think, is the busiest day of the year. Purim is the busiest day of the year, then Yom Kippur is the second busiest day of the year. You know, you get up in the morning, and it's a little easier now. You have to go to davening to Megillah, and then you have to make sure that my wife has to go to Megillah, and then you have to deal with the kids, and then you have Shalach Manas, and it's not just my Shalach Manas, the kids' Shalach Manas, you're running all over the place, and then you have then Mechonos of Yonim, which I have to deal with, and then Yeshivas Mordechai Tzadik, which I run, and then Mincha, you have to come get ready for the Suda, and it's a very stressful day, extremely stressful. I enjoy the stress. You sit down, you wash, and you go, wow. You can now relax. That's Purim. Purim is about relaxing, and this simcha, when you can relax and not worry about some things. So that all of a sudden you can really focus and understand what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is, and application of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this can bring you to the greatest heights. We should be zochet in the kind of simcha of Adar and simcha of Purim. To realize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is always there for us, will be there for us. And to really reach Simcha through that notion, we should have a wonderful month of Adar.